Hello, Beer Bruja.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Well, I'm not sweating to death. I mean, even though it's still like almost 90 degrees out there, I'm not sweating to death because I turned on the AC a little early.
Yeah, I've been sweating to the oldies since about May of this year, so I'm pretty much ready for middle of the week when, well, no, I think it's about the end of the week that I hear that fall is a-coming.
Oh, my goodness. I am so glad.
Yeah, I'm also glad, not because of the cooler weather, but I'm ready to start drinking some, like, heavier beers, and I feel like I can't do that when I have swamp ass.
I'm right there with you. Swamp ass and boob sweat. It's the bane of our existence.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know if you had this going on last week, but Beer Bruja and I met down at Oktoberfest Cincinnati to review some beers, and it was effing crazy. We couldn't even find each other because it's the second largest Oktoberfest outside of Munich, Germany, and we seriously couldn't find each other.
It took maybe probably about a good 25-30 minutes for us to figure it out. I'm on 3rd Street. Where are you? What are you looking at? I'm looking at a building. Okay, well, turn around. Do you see a stadium? Yes, I do. Which one? I don't know.
I know. And even though we've both been downtown 80 gazillion times, when you're plopped down in the middle of like a huge beer and food festival where you have people just like meandering around in costumes and being drunk, you really don't know where you're at and you don't know where to tell anybody that you're at. All I kept saying was, I'm by the sea of ATMs, but that was like not only, that wasn't the only block of ATMs in the whole festival.
And I kept saying, okay, well, I'm at the stage, like by the stage with the band. And there was like 4 different bands going on different stages on different sides of the highway.
Right. We ended up being on different sides of the highway.
Yeah. Cause it actually, there's a, for those of you who aren't familiar with Cincinnati, there's a couple of overpasses that, go across 71, I-71 there in Cincinnati to where you can kind of move back and forth. And it seemed like one side of the highway was the more traditional German food, German beers, German bands. And then the other side of the highway was more of the Cincinnati style German beers, or not German beers, but the more Cincinnati style beers and the more modern music. There was a good cover band that was playing on my side. Because I actually started off over on the German side.
Yeah, I was over on the like 60-year-old plus German side. And I was like, how do I find my people?
It was interesting to say the least. But
pretty sure hailed from Bavaria.
but yeah, we had a good time, tried out some different beers while we were down there, and got us both some pretzels with cheese, which is what you always have to do whenever you go to a Oktoberfest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got us some good food. Definitely, we definitely had some good beer, and I'll let Beer Bruja tell about her beer, because to be honest with you, I liked her beer a lot better than the beer that I had.
Yes, it was delicious. And I don't know if I should review that one tonight. I've got two of them sitting out, two different beers sitting out. I've got the one that we had there at Oktoberfest, and then I have a different one as well.
Oh, well, why don't you tell us about the one that you had at Oktoberfest?
Okay.
Since, you know, we both had that one, and it was at Oktoberfest.
Yeah, so I started off the night with a beer by Rheingeist, which is a Cincinnati brewery, and the beer is called Slangria, so like Sangria the wine, except with an L, Slangria, and it's actually a fruit ale. It's got apple, pomegranate, berry, and lime in it, and it's a very, kind of like a darker pink, I would say, and I think the thing that really popped when I was tasting it was that real tart pomegranate taste, but it was tart, but it wasn't too tart. It was a nice fruity, it was almost cidery, but you could still tell it was a beer. And oh my gosh, it was delicious. I had two, and it was amazing. I told you, I was like, go ahead, try this.
Yeah, it was delicious. I mean, it was almost like drinking a big adult juice box, to be honest with you. I mean, I could really taste like the cider elements in it, and it was sweet. Like, I thought it was sweet.
It was sweet without being overpowering was the
right
part of it. And it was really refreshing, too. And
it was.
Rheingeist had their, they had probably a couple of trucks down there, I'm sure. But I saw the one where I got it at. They had their beer trucks down there. And so this was on tap. It wasn't like where they're handing out cans. What I have currently is in a can. I think that I like the taste of it a little bit better on tap than I do in the can. But
oh, okay.
Also, don't know though if that was because when we were down there, it was a little humid, and maybe it just tasted more refreshing when you got that ice cold beer coming out of the beer truck and going straight into your cup. Oh man, it was so good.
It was. I really loved your beer. Like, I was jealous that I didn't get that beer, and I was eating so much food. Beers before that said beer already, so I was like, I'm only gonna have one beer because I want some food while I'm down here. And I definitely wish that I would have picked your beer, because even though like I didn't feel it was like a German, you know, style beer, and I wanted to like be traditional, like I definitely just should have given in and been like, F it, I'm getting the Slangria, because it was so good.
It was. I think maybe we'll have to go down and maybe visit Rheingeist and see if they've got it on tap sometime. And
oh yeah,
definitely try some of their beers, because I also pulled up the Untappd app that you talked about. I think maybe your second episode where you were
yeah,
at, World of Golf doing the thing there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've pulled that up, and I've pulled up some of their different beers that they've got, and just the number of beers that Rheingeist puts out. And not just the number of beers, but the number of sweet or sour beers, which really calls to my palate, is absolutely amazing. And I want to go down and try all of them. And I knew that if I were to, I'd be having to be poured into bed that night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were definitely good. And, what would you give this beer for an overall rating?
For an overall rating, I would give that, hell yeah, bartender, pour me another.
That's exactly what I would rate that one, because it's definitely amazing. And let me just talk about the beer that I got for a moment.
You got a more German one, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I wanted to go, like I said, with something that was more traditional. So I checked out the beer list before I went down to Oktoberfest, and I was actually going to end up getting a different one than what I got, but I saw this truck and I was like, well, I've never had this one. It's a German beer. And I'm not sure if I'm saying it, but I got Erdinger Oktoberfest, and it's a Weiss beer. So it's like a traditional German Oktoberfest beer, and it's a 5.7 ABV. So it wasn't, you know, too high or anything. But I also was reading about some of the other Oktoberfest style beers, and I got some differing information on this Erdinger beer. You know, a couple of websites said it was a Weiss beer, like a Hefeweizen, but then some other sites said it was a Märzen, if I'm saying that correctly, which is a style of beer that they brewed back in Bavaria, back in the old days. Like, they were trying to make a beer that was going to be good through the summer months, because the yeast and everything in the beer, there was a chance that it could have, like, went bad and, like, made people sick, like, gotten all kinds of bacteria and whatnot in it. So they were trying to, you know, brew a beer that wouldn't happen with, and they started like brewing it in the month of March, and that's why it's called a Märzen, or however you say it.
Märzen,
however they say it. I'm not German.
Speak German, but that's, well, the only reason that I kind of popped into my head was because I speaking of German beers, also tried another of Rheingeist's beers, kind of in between our previous podcast and Oktoberfest, and that was Rheingeist's Franz.
Oh, yeah, I had that Friday night.
What was your thoughts on it?
I know your thoughts on it. Okay, so I ended up liking it more than I like the Erdinger, or however you want to say it. Mm-hmm. Because back to the Erdinger, I would rate it an over. And again, you know, we're not rating these beers we got down at Oktoberfest off of anything except really the taste, I guess, because, you know, we got them on tap out of the trucks. But this beer, that Erdinger, it kind of tasted like a flat beer to me. You tried mine, didn't you, Beer Bruja?
I think I tried it a little bit, and I don't know. It was just kind of one of those things where I tasted too much bitterness in it, I think. And the bitter flavors of, like, your standard beers, even, like, your American Lights and everything, those just kind of throw me off, and I'm just like, oh, I don't know if I really want to have too much of it, because it feels like it just sits so heavily.
Yeah. On your stomach, like,
drink too much.
I didn't think this beer sat heavy on my stomach, but I definitely think that it tasted like a beer that had been watered down, mm-hmm. and it never really tasted that cold to me. And I don't know if it's just because it really wasn't that cold, but I would have rated that beer like I'd buy it on someone else's dime, I guess. I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't good. I mean, I guess it was like somewhere in between. Like, it was drinkable. It wasn't trash.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't Bud Light, but I really didn't enjoy it, and I feel like I kind of wasted my money on it when I could have gotten so many other beers. But I did like the Rheingeist Franz better than that, and I know you said that it was bitter, but it still had, like, enough of a bite to it without being too bitter that I actually pretty much enjoyed it. I had a can of it at my house on a Friday night while I was watching American Horror Story.
Something to wet the whistle as you're watching it.
Right. And I did like the can art on the Franz. I don't know is it Franz or is it Franz?
I'm going to say Franz.
Franz, okay. Yeah. I like the can because it had, you know, it looked like your basic Rheingeist can with the droplet of the skull looking thing on it, but it also had like a little bit of like a German like banner type looking like blue and white checked thing on the can, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that part I did like about it. The can, I don't know if I still have the can somewhere around because I haven't taken out any of my recycling yet, so I look like I'm an alcoholic with beer cans all over the place.
We live in the sticks, so we don't recycle around here. The only thing we use cans for is to shoot guns at. So
that, or to put into fireplaces to help burn creosote out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Heard of? I don't know if that actually works or not, but that's what I had heard.
I don't
know. But I would agree with that the
can, I mean, if I had to, I would. But I and is that even though I said I like the Franz, I would rate it as I would buy it on someone else's dime, because I probably couldn't see myself purchasing it again. Like, I purchased it like at Kroger as part of a Create Your Own six pack.
Mm-hmm.
It was either Kroger or Party City in Florence. I don't remember. But I mean, maybe I'd do it as part of that again, or if I was at Rheingeist, I'd do it as part of a flight.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't go out and buy a six pack of it, because I mean, like we discussed in another podcast, Rheingeist beers are like almost $10 for six cans, and I couldn't see me wanting to sit around drinking six cans of Franz.
No, not all at once anyway, like, or not over, you know, 2 or 3 days or whatever. It just seems like it would be too much to really kind of ingest with that much bitterness to it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, for me, like I said, you know, the bitterness of it, it really, really kind of overpowered everything else. I think that would be one of those things where if I had already had a couple in me, had a couple of other beers in me, or maybe if I'd been drinking mixed drinks or drinking wine or something, and, you know, I'd kind of already numbed my taste buds, then maybe I would drink it and not really have a strong of a reaction to it. But with that particular one, that's one that I would be like, nope, pour that shit down the drain.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's just, I think, because my palate hasn't evolved past the sweet and the sours yet.
Right. And it does take a minute. Like, you know, I've still got the Sam Adams Oktoberfest in my haven't drank yet. And I am looking forward to drinking that. But I had somebody tell me the other day that that one was really heavy.
Yeah, that's what I'd heard too. And I was kind of excited to maybe try that sometime soon. Especially now that, you know, we're the last day of September. October's going to be starting tomorrow. So all
yeah.
The cooler air is going to start coming in. I mean, the cooler air is not going to start tomorrow, but by the end of the week, cooler air, at least for a couple of days. And so you're going to get that crispness in the air. And I think when you have that real nice fall chill in the air, that it makes those types of beers and those types of drinks easy.
Oh, yeah.
So kind of like that pumpkin that I had.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks back when you and I met up to kind of discuss the podcast.
Yeah.
I had said that one was probably not good at that time of the year because it was just kind of hot and sticky outside.
But definitely.
I start getting into like hoodie weather, then that'll probably taste amazing sitting around a campfire. It'll probably have that nice warm taste to it. And by warm, I mean like that kind of like a spice taste to it.
Yeah, like when you're drinking those types of beers, like you just want you want to taste cinnamon, nutmeg, like clove, something like that.
Yeah, pumpkin-y flavor. I mean,
yeah,
where it basically tastes like you're getting a whiff of Thanksgiving.
Right, and you know, there's even some Thanksgiving beers out there that I'm gonna introduce you to that I've had before, and now. And, you know, the Oktoberfest beers, though, like, I do feel like those are kind of, like, transitioning into, like, the fall flavor beers. And I do, every time I drink, like, not so much the Erdinger, but, like, the Franz. The October Fuel by Braxton, which is a very good Oktoberfest beer. I really felt like, you know, I was transitioning into those fall beers with those. They kind of had that, not the full flavor, you know, of like the pumpkin beers or what have you, but, I don't know, maybe it was just the style of the beer just kind of reminded me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, like, especially around this time of year with where we live. Currently with our proximity to Cincinnati, which Cincinnati is starting to get, I think, a bit more well-known for their beers. They've been kind of under the radar for a while, but the past couple of years, they've really started putting out some really nice brews recently.
Yeah, and we saw that down at Oktoberfest.
Yes,
I mean, there were a few, I mean, on your side of the overpass, you know, on the fun young side, there was there was like so many different breweries that were being represented that like I had only heard of maybe like once, like that Fretboard. I've not had anything of theirs. That was down there by the Rheingeist booth.
Yeah, there were a good handful of them that I had heard of only, or not heard of, but I had only seen kind of like in passing as I was scrolling through.
Oh yeah,
app. And other than that, though, I'd never heard any mention of them. But they had some pretty good lines there, so they've got to be doing something right. Like they had,
oh yeah,
had lines backed up. It seemed like they were kind of moving a bit slow. But I think with the amount of people that they had down there, it was probably as fast as they could get them through.
Right.
But yeah, there were a couple of them.
I'm just excited to get into the fall beers. You know, I'm excited to get into some porters, you know, maybe some like, and the other night sent me a picture. I know you like pineapple. So, and I don't know if you told me you drank this the other night or not, but my cousin sent me a picture of Ace Brewery. I think it's a California brewery, and it was pineapple ale or pineapple cider or something.
That sounds interesting. I didn't one of the ones that I did have was another Cincinnati area brewery was Christian Moorline. And they have one, I think it was called Pineapple Upside Down. I'm trying to think here. It was like Pineapple Upside Down Ale or something like that.
Where was that at?
It was, I got it as part of like one of the make your owns at Party Source.
Yeah.
Over, or not Party Source, Party Town.
Yeah.
Over, on Turfway in Florence, where you just, you know, grab whichever ones you want and they'll just charge you per can or per bottle, or if you want to mix and match cans and bottles, they can do that.
Yeah.
And it was Christian Moorline. It was a pineapple upside down.
Ooh.
And I was really excited to try it.
Yeah.
When I took the first couple of drinks of it, I'm like, this tastes basically just like Bud Light Lime is what it tasted like.
That's crazy.
And I was... There's been a couple of them that I really liked the can art on them.
Yeah, and that's why you bought them, right?
Exactly. Well, I bought them.
And I said that too in one of my earliest podcasts. Like, sometimes I'll buy a beer simply based off the name or the bottle or can art.
Yeah, which I don't know if we want to talk about this one. Do you know which one I'm getting ready to talk about?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Should we talk about that one?
The Bean Flicker?
Yes.
I actually tried that. A friend of mine, her cousin had brought her some beers from Michigan, and that was one of them, and it was pretty good. I don't remember, is it a coffee stout?
I think so. It's something to do with coffee.
Yeah, but it has that, you know, innuendo, like that sexual innuendo of Bean Flicker, but really it's called that because of coffee beans.
And they want to just grab your attention.
Right. Well, good job. And I don't remember what brewery that is, but I mean, it was actually pretty decent. And I mean, and you have to be careful with those coffee stouts because they can be super strong and bitter, but that one really wasn't like that if I can remember correctly.
That one, I never actually tried it, but I was walking past walking past, like, the displays and everything, and I just like stopped short and I was like, wait, what? Oh my god, that does say Bean Flicker. Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
Of course I had to take a picture of it.
Of course you did.
All my family and friends be like, look what they've got. It's like when you go to Jungle Gems and see all the different names on the
I saw this beer at Hustler.
Throws you off there, but
right.
But I did get a couple of new beers. I don't know if are we going to try any beers tonight?
I actually don't have any cracked open tonight.
What?
Yeah, I don't. I've had so much coffee today that I'm like, I'm trying to like evacuate with water. I've been so tired today. I've drank so much coffee. And I've had like two or three coffees from Starbucks today, and every one of them were made wrong, and that pissed me off. Like,
I've given up on Starbucks. I mean, I'm just like, I can't keep doing this to my body with Starbucks.
Yeah, I heard a nasty rumor today that Starbucks was gonna stop making Frappuccinos and their seasonal drinks, which I don't get the Frappuccinos anyway, but if you take away my white girl pumpkin spice latte, or you take away some of the other specialty drinks you have, you can just forget it. I'm not going to go buy any more of your burnt bean coffee. I'll take my happy ass to Dunkin' and get out the door.
There's actually a couple of Dunkins by where I live here, and so... Yeah,
I love, you know, Dunkin' anyway. But,
Right next to the store where I can buy my beer.
Right. Well, I did want to mention an idea I had. So, and you know, this is for all the listeners out there that follow us, and we're still looking for a different name. I think I've come up with one. I'm going to discuss it with Beer Brewha. But you know, those that podcasts and those of you that have been following the Beer Baroness Ash Instagram, which I'm going to be changing over as well. I thought it would be a good idea to maybe do a 13 beers of Halloween.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know how we're going to do that, but
we'll figure it out. And like, you know, maybe we can tie in, like, you know, maybe we can watch some, like, cheesy 80s slasher flick while we're having one of our 13 beers of how.
We can definitely do that.
What was that?
I said we could definitely do that, I think.
Oh, yeah. Like, usher in the Halloween season. There's a lot of Halloween beers out there. So,
there's also one, and I don't know who makes it, but I was really excited to hopefully get to try it sometime soon, like, before they start pulling it from the shelves or wherever you get it at. But, like, the however many pounds of pumpkins, I can't remember which one it is, but... It's like 20 pounds of pumpkins or something it's called.
I've never heard of that one.
It's supposedly really good. It's got like a real nice like pumpkin-y slash yam flavor to it.
So it's not a myth. It's not an urban legend. It's real.
It is. It's real.
We need to find this beer because I love me some pumpkin.
I will text my friend who told me about it later on tonight and ask her and be like, what was that beer called? Because we need to look for it.
Yeah, we need to be drinking it. But before we wrap up here, I think Beer Bruja wanted to make a toast. The great Marty Brenneman.
Yes. And let me crack open my Slangria for it. A nice Cincinnati beer for Cincinnati legend. Let's see here.
I hear it.
There we go.
I'm a little bit jealous that I don't have any of those in my refrigerator.
Well, should be, because this is amazing. I love it.
Yeah, I'd love it too.
But for those of you who follow the Reds, the Cincinnati Reds baseball team, which unfortunately I don't. I'm not a huge fan of Cincinnati sports because of the fact that we have terrible records, it seems like, and it seems like it's a curse. But maybe next season will be better.
Maybe. It's next season. It's every next season.
Yeah, every year it's next season. We'll be back. Yeah. We're in a recovery year.
Right. We got a new coach and a new manager, damn it.
Well, I mean, technically with the Bengals, that is true. We do.
Or our players are always in jail. You know, it's either or. Or they're beating their wife or making a TV show about beating their wife.
Seems like it's always something. Like,
yeah.
Whatever it is, like, we always seem to get screwed over one way or another.
We do.
Sports teams. But we did have a longtime, a faithful compatriot to the Cincinnati Reds, and that was Marty Brenneman. And he actually, this past Thursday, did his final sign-off from broadcasting basically calling the game for the Cincinnati Reds, which he has done, I think, since like 73 or 74.
Something like that.
Took over, I think, for Joe Nuxhall.
Yeah.
And
well, him and Joe Nuxhall used to do it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Joe left, and so then he kind of headed it up for a while, and he's been doing this for the past 46 seasons. And like I said, I don't follow sports, so I never watch, listen to, or go to the games there in Cincinnati, but I actually pulled up that video of him signing off for the last time, and
it's pretty powerful.
It is just absolutely amazing. It, like, trying to keep a dry eye with that was incredible, because that man,
when you hear the phrase, and this one belongs to the Reds, you know, it's Marty Brenneman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the way that he signed off, I thought, was really classy too. It was very humble, and it seemed like all of his praise, or not necessarily his praise, but all of the success that he's had as a broadcaster, he did not take any credit for any of that success.
He pretty much gave it to the city of Cincinnati.
And that was another thing where he was talking about, once Cincinnati decides that you're one of theirs, you are one of theirs, and they will defend you. Unless, of course, you're probably part of the Bengals. Then in that case, it's kind of hit or miss. He had a lot of really good words for Cincinnati, and I was very impressed with how he gave all the credit for his success and his longevity in the Reds, like, Hall of Fame. He's had just a lot of success, and he gave that all to his mentors, his support staff. he didn't take any of the credit for himself. So I think that we should definitely raise our glasses to Marty Brenneman, who is going to be enjoying his retirement, traveling with his wife, and said that if anybody happens to see him around town and you run into him, he said, don't feel afraid of coming up and saying hi to him. He'd still love to talk to you.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm going to raise my glass of water. You can raise your Rheingeist Sangria, and we will sign off tonight raising a glass to the great red broadcaster, Marty Brenneman. Cheers.
Cheers, Marty.
Cheers, Marty. And until next time, beer community, Beer Bruja and Beer Baroness is signing off, but don't worry, because I think we're going to try to be back this weekend.
Yes, ma'am. I think I'll have some availability.
Yes, ma'am. Good night, everybody.
See y'all.